Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I don't think we can ever fathom the love that God has for us. And we want to love Him, but I always think of the disciple John. He always says, John, the disciple that Jesus loved. He always understood the love that Jesus had for him, even more than the love that John had for Jesus. And one day when each of us can get to realize the fullness of that love that He has for us, I don't think we'll ever be able to contain it. But I sure want to try. What I want to speak on today, the title of my sermon is Jesus, an Example to Follow. And of course, us, we consider ourselves Christians, we call ourselves Christians, and that is what we are to be, just we are to be, as they say, little Christs. Whatever he did, he demonstrated. And so this is who we're supposed to be. And so I want to start off today with John 13:1 will be my first scripture. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and it says, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of love. And this was Jesus' last night with it. And have you ever wondered if you had the opportunity to speak to your loved ones at your last hour? What would you say to them? In another 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my message today is going to focus on the last night that he would spend together with all 12 men that had been with him since the beginning of his ministry. Now, these men had left all their lives behind. They just left everything and chose to follow Jesus. All their hopes had been set on him and the coming kingdom that he talked about so much. And now, this night, he's telling them that he's leaving them. And he had instructed them to meet for what we now know as the Last Supper. And the disciples would have a night of sorrow, a night of a lot of lack of understanding as to what Jesus would be saying that night. Of course, you know, having a meal and having the fellowship, and I'm sure it wasn't all a terrible time, but you can imagine hearing the words that Jesus had to say to them, specifically that this was it. He was leaving. And what would they do now? What would they do without him? So what I would imagine that during that night, there would be confusion. There would be just so many things, concern of what's for their future. So I want to turn to John 14:1 now. And I'm sure as Jesus spoke, you know, all the thoughts that are going through their minds, and here's what Jesus comes back with, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. So as these disciples are going through their time of trouble, if you would call it, their time of sorrow, in today's language, Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry. I've got your back. I've got you. And you look at it, they were more concerned about what would happen to them. And here Jesus is the one that's going to be going through the agony. He's going to be the one that's going to be going through the pain and the torture. But I'm sure that the disciples are thinking a little more. It's okay, what about us? But Jesus is saying, it's okay. I've already got a plan for you. I've already got something that's there for you, and you won't have to worry about where you are or where you're going. So I look at that and I think, do we sometimes, as individuals, do we get more concerned about what's going on and happening or could be happening to us rather than some of those that are around us, some of those that are so special to us? The concern revolves around us. So what I'm going to do, as I said, the focus is on the night of the Passover, the night that they have their supper. So I'm going to share some parts of what happened that night. There's so many things that went on, but I felt God was asking me to show just three separate items that I was to concentrate on. So the next thing I want to do is go to John 15:16. And it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So Jesus is, you know, here he's telling these guys that have been with him after 3 years. And these guys are probably thinking, well, you know, I chose to follow Jesus. I wanted this. And yes, we have to say yes, Lord, to whatever. But Jesus had already handpicked these guys. These were the men that, you know, Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. He didn't just do things because at the spur of the moment. Constant prayer with the Father, constant communication. His heart and Father's heart were one. And so as he walked choosing these people, he knew that these were the men that would someday promote the kingdom that he had talked about. And the thing to look at, it says also that he made us to produce good fruit. He ordained these people to produce good and everlasting fruit. And you think about it, if this is Jesus choosing us, what else could we produce? If we accept that, if we accept that Jesus has poured himself into us, just as these disciples did, he ordained them to do good works in their lives. And the thing that we have to look at is that you think about somebody like Peter. Do you think that at the time that Jesus told him, come follow me, do you think that if Jesus would have told him at that time that he could walk on water, that he would have believed it? And but Jesus saw something in him, and Jesus knew that he believed in him. And in Jesus, Peter could walk. Peter could never imagine himself that way, but Jesus did. What seems impossible in your life, Jesus doesn't see impossible. There is nothing impossible that we could be facing this day, today, that Jesus would say, you know what, that's way beyond my stuff, you know, I can't help you. There is nothing in this world that you could be facing today, and I guarantee you that if you see yourself as Jesus sees you, you would be more apt to say, yes, I can. Because in our own eyes, when we look in the mirror each day, we're our worst critics. There isn't too much that we see in ourselves. But if we were to somehow look at ourselves with the eyes of Jesus, we would see this creation. And as I've said in prior times, He doesn't create imperfectness. All His creations are perfect. And maybe the world that we live in distorts that perfect creation. But if we can accept what He has done for us and how He intends for us to be, then we can accept that when we look at that mirror, we are that perfect creation. And we can go forth to walk on water someday. Hey, what's to say? Let's go to John 13, 2 through 5. Most of my stuff's going to be in John because the other Gospels, pretty much they go from the Last Supper and onto the Garden. And John seems to, and I think maybe a lot has to do too, because he was there. And so he gets to see a lot of the details that took place that night. And so he's written down a lot more things than the other Gospels had, you know, about the things that happened that night, things that were important, not only to John, but to others. And so the next one says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, to do something like this, Jesus knew His identity. He knew His authority. He knew He was the Son of God. And yet, He exchanged His robe for a servant's wrap. He lowered Himself to His knees and performed a servant's job, just rubbing away the grime and the grit of the day's journey. Now, Jesus' action demonstrated servanthood, humility, loving one another, and the washing of our sins. But think about it. As He made His way through the 12, He would be washing the feet of someone that would betray Him. He would be washing the feet of someone that would deny even knowing Him. And then all the rest of them that He would wash, they would eventually scatter and leave Him alone. Leave Him to be Himself and face the accusers that were coming after Him. So all of these men that He had gone to His knees to wash their feet, to show Him His heart, they were all not going to be there for Him in some way or another. But I don't think that Jesus ever had a problem with that. I don't think that He loved them any less, knowing all these things that were going to happen. I don't think His heart allowed Him to have any ill feelings towards these people that He loved, that had been with Him through all this time. You know, sometimes in our journeys, we encounter those that have betrayed, deserted, and hurt us. Now, that's an example there. Could we follow Jesus' example and still love them, even though they've done something to our lives in some form or another? And you know, most people could not. And some of us keep our feelings on kind of a low boil. It's okay, but it's kind of there. You know, I know I'm Christian and I know I need to forgive, and you know, we want to do that, but sometimes we keep our feelings just a little bit there, not ever truly letting go. But the thing about it is that I know something different has happened to you. You're not like most people. And the thing that's different that has happened to you, grace has happened to you. Grace has happened to you. Your feet have been washed by the Son of God. And Jesus has washed the grimiest areas of your journey. And think about this, to accept His grace for you is to accept the vow to give it to others. How can we accept what He gives us and let it stop there? That's not His heart. His heart is to give that same grace to those that are around you. Those that maybe it's not so easy to let go of some of the things they've done. Maybe why? Because maybe they keep doing it. And there's always that little area that the enemy uses with certain people to bring frustration or to bring some kind of way to not allow you to take that pot off of low boil. So allow that grace to flow through you. Be set free. Let's go to John 14, 15 through 18. And these are, again, these are all things that are happening this night. So it says, Jesus is telling him, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because He neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives within you. So you think the disciples are probably thinking, what could possibly be better than Jesus being with us? I mean, they had walked with Him. They had seen all He did. They knew that He would lead them in the right direction. And here He's telling them about this other person that was coming that would take His place. And Jesus tells them that it is He living within them would be the only thing that would be better than He living with them. And so praise God. You know, you got to think about it. That time, they had no idea what a Holy Spirit was. we today, we can stand back and, you know, we know how things worked out. But at that time, they're just thinking, I'm going to be without my Jesus, you know. And later they would see a full demonstration of what Jesus was saying when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us about it during the book of Acts. But at that time, you know, I'm sure they were just not, they were kind of, I'm sure, asking questions as to what exactly was this. And so it's so nice today that we can appreciate what Jesus was saying at that time. So let's go to John 14, 26 through 28. And he goes on to say, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, verse 27, it tells us that his presence in us should bring deep and lasting peace. So think about it. Knowing that the Spirit of God is within us, knowing that nothing has any power over him, that should assure us that all those forces that are within our are within us, bringing stress to our lives, have no place. You don't ever see Jesus succumbing to any type of evil or any type, anything that was, the Spirit said that they fell, you know, just at his presence. And you think every one of us that's sitting in this room today, we have that same Spirit in here. We should be able to walk wherever it may be and know that there is nothing in this world that is more powerful than that Spirit that lives within us. Can we stand that way? Can we stand our ground? It's not John Valero that's going to do it. It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Son of God that lives in here, that gives me the power to do all things, and he never forsakes me.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Jesus. Now, Jesus' words to his disciples throughout this night was not only to comfort their hearts, but it was also to prepare them for the part they would have in advancing the kingdom and the persecution that they would face as they did. Now, to do the works of Jesus, he would need to equip and empower them. And the igniter would be the Holy Spirit. So I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Hello. And I want to read 1 through 11. And it says, now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God, Jesus be cursed. And no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. And by means of the same Spirit, to another faith. By the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. By that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. And to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits. And to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. Now, as I read that, notice that all throughout there, notice the word give. God loves to give. And God only gives good gifts. So would you think that anyone could possibly refuse a gift from God? And so all we need for our journey is being offered. And it's only there for our acceptance. All these things that I have read here, these are tools, if you want to say that Jesus felt or knew, I should say, that we would need for our walk, for our journey. These are things that he did, and he wanted to empower each one of the disciples, which is now us, to do the same. And we couldn't do it, again, as I said earlier, without the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. So he gave us these things. They're just there. And yet there are some of these things that, or some of these gifts that sometimes we do refuse. And, you know, for a lot of us, we may think, boy, I'd love to just lay my hands on people and watch them be healed. Beautiful gift. I love doing that. I love praying for people. That's my favorite thing to do, is to pray for people. And yet there might be another one. You know, the one that comes to mind here is the speaking in different languages. That can sometimes get refused for whatever reason that may be. And yet, he didn't say, this one's better than that one. These are just all laid out for you. And as you start walking in these things, as you start, you won't know if that's the gift that he has set out for you until you do a Peter and step into that water. Try it out. That may be exactly where you're supposed to be. And if he only gives good gifts, there is not one gift on this list. And of course, this is only a short list. There's other gifts that you can look throughout the Bible and find other things that they talk about as gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts that come through the Holy Spirit. And they're there for your acceptance. Amen. Or rejection. And if it's a gift from God, please don't reject. Don't refuse. Find out what he wants for you specifically. And I know in my life, I've had opportunity to use pretty much all of them in some way. It's more like a toolbox. You know, when the right time comes, you got your screwdriver sitting in that toolbox, and you get a screwdriver. You're not going to get a hammer to take a screw off. So these different gifts are there for us to use as the Spirit gives us that place. So if there's something in your life, pray about it. Ask God to take you there, and you'll know. If this is not your time, timing is something else too. You know, he's got that time for you. He's got that time of understanding. He's got that time of when he's calling you to do this. But never, never wait for tomorrow for something that he's calling you today. Okay. Now the next thing I want to look at is in John 15, 5 through 6. Back to John. And it says, I'm just going to read 5 and 6. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Some translations say, abide in me. I love that word, to abide, to remain. And all it is to remain in relationship with him. And the deeper and the more intimate, the better it is for us. Know him deeply. Hear the beat of his heart. Pray for the mind of Christ. Know what he's doing today. And that's what he wants. All these other things become second nature. Following his word. You know, he gave us a book that told us all that happened in the beginning, and like other books, he even told us what's going to happen at the end. What more could we ask for, right? Soak in his love. Just as you saw this morning, he wants to love you. He wants to pour that love like honey over each one of you. And that's what he's asking for, is just come as you are. Allow him to love you. Get to know what makes his heart happy, what brings joy to him. And if it's bringing it to him, it's going to bring it to you. Can't go wrong if you're walking in the same path that Jesus is. We need his lifeblood flowing through us. And we can do nothing. You know, there is really not much meaning if you don't have him in your life. A lot of the things that we think are so important in our lives aren't quite as important when you make him number one. So what I want to do is I want to read, I want to put a reading up here of someone that had it all. He had wisdom, he had riches, and he had honor. You name it, he had it. So let's put up here Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 11. And it says, the words of the teacher, son of King David in Jerusalem. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he tolls under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before time. There is no remembrance of men of old. And even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. Solomon was telling us that apart from God, life is meaningless. Now, we try to find meaning in our own self-accomplishments. You know, we like to go out and make money and buy new cars, and makes us feel good for a little while. And you can do that. There's a bigger world out there operating in that way. There's more of those that are satisfied, or at least think they're satisfied, with their own accomplishments. And Solomon is saying here, I've done it. Been there, done that. That's not where I get my satisfaction from. Now, God's creations on this earth includes those things that bring us joy and pleasure. But He is a jealous God, and He wants to be at the top of our priority. So it's nothing wrong with having a nice car or a nice home or taking a beautiful trip on a cruise or whatever. God intends for us to do the things. We're not supposed to be locked up in somebody's monk house somewhere, you know, and that's okay for them. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to enjoy those things that He has laid out for us. That's part of Him being a dad, a father, a daddy. You know, I want my kids to have wonderful things. I love seeing laughter on their faces. I love seeing them. There is nothing more that I enjoy is when I give them a gift and I see that smile and that thank you and that whatever comes with that particular occasion. And I think that's our Father's heart. All the things that are here on this earth, He created for us. But those are not things that should be above your time and your love for Him. He's a jealous God. He wants that priority. And all these things that I mentioned earlier about He wants that relation. He wants that intimacy. He wants you to know His heart. And so if you're tomorrow's, if you're getting up every day and you say, well, here we go again, back to work, and you know, if that's how you start your day, I've got an answer. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And so if your day sounds like Solomon's time here, there's no need to stay there. Place your trust in Jesus, and you're going to find meaning in your life. All those things that seem so big, when you focus your eyes on Jesus, they shrink, and eventually they go away because they don't matter. They don't matter because one day, as He says, we're going to be out of here, and all that's going to matter is that we're going to be up there at His banquet table, just enjoying all them good tacos or whatever you guys like. So, abide in Him. Remain in Him. Seek His heart. Don't let the cares of the world overcome the joy that He intended for you to have as we are in this earth. Jesus' words would include the heart throughout that night, would include His heart for perfect unity. It was so special to Him. He wanted His church to be united. He wanted all His, and when I say His church, I mean, we're talking not only a body such as this. He's talking to His disciples, but He wanted His whole church. We don't have to have non-denominations and Baptists and Lutherans. He just wanted His church to love Him and to put Him as priority. And so He expressed that unity. Love one another. Stay with each other. He told them about the power of His name and that the access that they would have to the Father through Him, through Jesus. That name of Jesus, you know, it's like having a big old credential. Yep, I represent Jesus. Come on through. Got you. He talked about the meaning of His blood and His body as they shared at the Last Supper, as we did today. I'm sure at that time, they're probably wondering, what's this thing about eating your flesh and drinking your blood? You know, I'm sure there was a lot of questions as to what is He saying. But as I said earlier, once the Holy Spirit came, as he told them, you would understand. You would know what I'm talking about. Be able to accept all these things that I'm saying to you. Just as you today, I hope that the Holy Spirit within you is just revealing to you who our Lord Jesus really is for you today. Now, finally, he would go to the Mount of Olives to pray. He would face a time of extreme agony. The word says that his sweat was like tears dropping. You could imagine how deeply and sorrowful some of his prayers were. It says that even an angel came and ministered to him through that. The Father was taking care of him. But he went through a rough time, and you got to think, he knew his body was not going to go through just a little tap on the shoulder. He knew what he was going to be going through for us. But yet, with all that, and all that he knew would come, and the people that would not be there for him, his prayer would be, not my will, but yours. He never gave up his mission. And so the last thing I want to read is in John 18, 4 through 6. And that guy says, Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, Who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. And then he said, and I love this, I am he. Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, where you hear that, I am, very familiar, huh? And you think about these men, this hunting party that was out for him, they all fell to the ground. That could have been it. He could have left them there and say, see you. Walk away, you know. They were already down. He never touched them. Why not, right? But his mission wasn't complete. Wasn't the end of his mission. He never lost sight of his mission. He endured until you see him on the cross. And as this says, he chose to give up his life. He could have gone elsewhere. But he says, not my will, but your will. Now, could each one of us say that sometimes when things don't look so great for us? That hurts too much. I don't think I want to go there. I don't like that guy. I don't think I want to hang out with him. Whatever it is, you know, that's going on in your life, what has God given you? What's God stirring in your heart? Are we willing to keep going? Are we willing, regardless of what the enemy throws at us? And as I said earlier, we already have the most powerful spirit living within us. Why should we be afraid? Yet we are. We're not willing to extend ourselves. We're not willing to extend the grace sometimes that we've been granted. So many things that that I saw here this night with the disciples and what they went through, but it's all in preparation for what they would be going through. It's all to let us know what we would be facing, but that he's with us. And all our part is just abide in him, trust in him, draw from him. And nothing in this world can ever take us down. So today, what stirs your heart? What's God been stirring in you?